Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to SG Mart conference call hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Harsh Pathak, Emkay Global Financial Services. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yes, thank you, Manav. Good evening, everyone. First of all, sorry for the delay due to some technical snag during uploading the results. We had to postpone the call. However, we'll start the call now. I would like to welcome the management and thank them for the opportunity. We have with us today Mr. Shiv Bansal, Joint Managing Director, Mr. Suraj Kumar, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Anubhav Gupta, Group Chief Strategy Officer, and Mr. Naman Rastogi, General Manager, Strategy and Investor Relations. I shall now hand over the call to the management for the opening remarks. Now, over to you, gentlemen.
Thanks, Harsh, and thanks, Emkay, for hosting SG Mart for its quarter three FY25 earnings call. I welcome all the participants who have joined on this call. We would like to apologize for starting this call late, as there was a technical snag with the stock exchanges while uploading the results. I'm not sure how much time everyone got to look at the results, but I would quickly run you through the results and we'll discuss about our performance, and then we will have a Q&A session. So if you look at the revenue, we did around 13.5 billion, which was, of course, a big jump on YY basis, but quarter on quarter, it was a decline because of our B2B business, where there were no imports in the quarter three. Q2, there was a bump up in the B2B metal trading business because of heavy imports, but in Q3, imports were not viable, so all the sales, all the supply was domestic. We'll talk about segment-wise performance once I finish the rundown on the quarter three results. Our business EBITDA recovered sharply to 28 crore rupees, which is a big jump QOQ and YOY. Last quarter we had to book inventory losses, but this quarter was business as usual, and our operating EBITDA margin was 2.1%, which we have been guiding for, and because of other income, the net profit also was 28 crores, which increased both QQ and YOY, with the net margin of 2.1%. The working capital days were 10. Which are higher compared to FY24 March numbers, but here nothing to worry because the inventory days and debtor days are stagnant. It is just that the creditor days have reduced as we are sourcing more steel from domestic players. So a lot of money is into advances to buy steel. But still, our ROC on this working capital is 32%. So again, we are getting to normalized WC, and also more and more service stations are opening. So working capital days, as we have guided for, will remain between 15 to 20 days. But still, we have some time to go there. And ROE stands at 8%, which includes obviously 800 crores of fixed deposits in the balance sheet. Otherwise, ROE would also be upward of 20% if we calculate business ROE. Then there is a big jump in the registered customers. So now we are servicing 2,126 customers, which was like 1,270 last quarter. So a lot of new customers got added. And at the same pace, the registered vendors, the suppliers for various products, that also increased to 223 from 145. We spent around 142 crores in the first 9 months of current fiscal year towards the capex. So two of our service centers are operational, the Ghaziabad and the Bangalore. The other three, Dubai and Raipur and Pune, we spent money to finish the construction and start those units. So one by one, all will be operational in Feb. Plus, we have identified 5 new locations for new service centers for which the CAPEX shall start next month. We have started identifying the land. Update on our solar structure business. We have ordered the machinery which will roll the solar mounted ground structures, and we expect as we are talking, the trials are underway at the machine supplier end. And we expect to have a first sale in month of February itself. We see this as a big revenue potential for SG Mart as we are getting into hyper growth renewable sector in the country, which will boost our revenue and profitability both. Now coming to the segment wise, now there are like 3 segments for revenue. Number one is B2B metal trading. Second is service center business, and third is B2C, which is distribution business. Now 1350 crore of consolidated revenue in Q3, it results to sales volume of 290,000 ton, tad below 300,000 ton. Now, out of this, the B2B metal business, if we look at the imports, like there was absence of imported steel, so this business declined from 1200 crore to 700 crore rupees Q on Q. And the service center business is ramping up pretty quickly. So here there is a small jump on quarter-on-quarter basis, but this will be heavy jump in Q4 as the Pune, Raipur and Dubai service centers operationalize. Plus, we will see quarter-on-quarter growth for a number of quarters as more and more service centers will keep on opening. Then third, the B2C, which is distribution business, here also we saw 5% jump on quarter-on-quarter basis with TMT sales gaining some momentum as the construction activity picked up in Q3, and we expect that Q4 the construction activity shall further pick up and it will boost our TMT sales volume. Then, last quarter, we introduced light structurals business as well. So that is also ramping up gradually as we are adding more and more customers to sell those products. So overall, the run rate of 1.2, 1.5 million ton of sales volume is what we are looking at on annual basis with 2.1 to 2.25% EBITDA margin as the business scales up. And once we have more service centers coming up, once the solar structure sales start, you will see the margin also picking up pretty strongly, and we will achieve towards 2.5% of guided EBITDA margin, and our revenue guidance of 18,000 crores in FY27 that remains stable, except the fact that the steel prices, depending on like how the steel prices will behave, the exact value will vary on that, but the volume which we had in mind, which was 2.5 to 3 million ton, this is what we're going to achieve by FY27 with the desired EBITDA margin of 2.5% and 15 to 20 days of net working capital cycle, which will keep our ROCs in upward of 30% range. That's it from our side. Now we can have the Q&A session. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Abhishek Gupta from AB Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hello. Yes. You had guided for 7,000 to 8,000 crore revenue for FY25 and 13 to 14,000 crore revenue for 26. Are you still holding on to that guidance?
So see, this guidance is based on the volume, right, and net selling realization, because steel prices have fallen sharply by 15 to 20% in last 12 months. So that's why the value will decrease, because anything we do is a pass-through to our customers. So yes, I mean, the basis of 7,000 crore revenue guidance was around 1.2 to 1.5 million ton of sales volume. So this is what we are going to achieve, right? And next year, it was based on around 1.82 million ton of sales volume. So again, this is what we shall achieve. So sales volume we shall achieve, the exact revenue will depend on the value, what we get, what we realize on steel prices.
So on value terms, can you tell as to how much it might be?
I'm sorry, can you come again?
In value terms, can you give put a number to it as to how much we will achieve in FY25 and in 26 based on the current prices?
Yeah, right. So far we have around 900,000 tons, right? And if we do like another 350,000 ton in Q4, so we shall surpass 1.2 million ton for the full year.
No, sir. On value term, I told.
Value term, so far we are at like 4,300 crores, right, somewhere around. And if we do 1,700 crores, right, so we shall be around 6,000 crores.
Okay. And in FY26, can you tell the number?
So you should expect like 40% jump over this.
Okay. Thanks, Jack.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Heet Pari from Ashika Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Good evening and thanks for the opportunity. So my question is on the service center business. So Raipur and Dubai service centers were going to be operational this quarter. So what caused delay in these centers? And number two, sir, the already existing two service center business, what kind of volumes are we are seeing from those centers? We firstly mentioned about the reaching up to 40,000 to 50,000 tons a month of volume from those service centers. So how is the demand side there?
Right. So right now the volume from service center is around 40,000 ton per month, right, from these two service centers. Okay. That's our maths as well while opening the service center, that service center in a metro city, right, that should give volume between 20 to 30,000 ton a month, right, and the smaller centers in smaller cities will give volume of near about 5,000 tons, right? So far, the two centers which are operational, they are in metro cities, so that's why the volumes are high, 40,000 tons put together. And Pune also, we started, Pune, what we have done is that since our service center is still not finished, so we took a service center on rent, right, and started seeding the market. So next month, when we move from the rented place to our own service center, the volume will increase. And Raipur and Dubai, of course, will to further boost the volume. And the reason why these service centers were delayed were because of some extended monsoon in the quarter three, which hampered the construction of the industrial sheds.
Okay, and so what about the zinc business, sir? How is the volumes drop in this quarter?
So zinc business is like, you know, a bit of opportunistic, right? This quarter, the revenue from zinc was not that high, right? At peak, it was doing, say, 5 to 10 crore per month. But this quarter, it was a bit low because there was volatility in zinc prices, so we did not try to do much.
If you could quantify?
That will be like a very small number.
Okay, sure, sir. And sir, lastly, if you could give me the breakup from all the three verticals in terms of volume for this quarter, as well as for 9 months, sir.
Right, so like I said, that we are tagged below 300,000 tons, right? 150,000 ton is B2B, right? 50-60,000 ton is I'm talking about the quarter, right? So 100,000 ton is for the service centers. And around 45,000 tons is for distribution business. So that's how the mix becomes around lower 300,000 tons.
And so lastly, sir, we haven't booked any inventory loss this quarter.
Sorry, say it again.
If I may, I was just confirming, sir, we haven't booked any inventory loss this quarter, right?
Inventory what? Loss?
Yeah, inventory loss. Last quarter, yeah, was 17 to 18.
So last quarter, there was very sharp decline in the steel prices of almost 15%, right? So this doesn't happen often. It's a once in a decade scenario when prices fall that sharp. So yes, I mean, 1,000-2,000 rupees per ton movement in steel prices does not impact our business model or hit our margin.
Yes, I was just confirming. So there was no effect on individuals on this quarter.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Krunal Shah from NM Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, Anubhav.
Yes, sir. Please.
Clarification on the numbers you mentioned. So you said service center did 100,000 tons kind of volume for the quarter, right?
300,000 tons.
No, the service center business.
Service center, yeah. So service, there are two things. One is stocking cell, right? And second is the sheet cutting, right? So you have put together, it's around that.
Okay, stock and sale and sheet cutting, you put it together over there. Okay.
Yeah,
and
that's
so
right.
Margins would be different, right, for both? Because cutting would be higher, stock and sale would be just low, normal like B2B.
No, so stock and sale is higher than B2B. In B2B, we get like, you know, 1-1.5% margin. But in stock and sale, you sell in retail, right? So obviously, you get a better margin, much higher.
Okay. And so in terms of the blended margins for the service center business right now, where would that stand at?
You can assume like around 3-4%.
3-4%. Okay.
Yeah.
So that is including the stock and sale, because that's
of course. Yes.
Okay. Got it. And so now we have all these three service centers running. In terms of capacity utilization, what would that be? Or in terms of peak capacity, what could that be?
So the service centers can do minimum like 70-80% more business from what it is, because like I said, the inventory
See, stock and sale, you just need to keep inventory. Inventory is still small, right? It isn't much, and space, we have a lot of space available. If you come and look at our service centers, you'll find that, like, you know, some service centers are pretty big.
Right.
Then, second is sheet cutting, right? So there also, if demand is more, we want to ramp up more, we can order machinery, right, and install new. So from existing setup, we can easily sell 70-80% more, if there is demand.
Okay. So that 20,000 number that you mentioned can easily go to 40,000, kind of.
Yeah.
If there
is demand. In that region. If there is demand in that region.
If there is demand in that region. Right. And so now you have identified five more sites. So these would be mostly the smaller cities?
Three are big, two are small. So right now the focus is to leverage on the larger cities, right? Because that's easy sell. Okay. And then in second phase, we will move towards smaller cities. But we believe that in India, we can have at least 15-20 large service centers.
15-20 large. Okay. And in the larger cities, how is the competition reacting to your entry in the service center business?
So they're very small. It's, we don't have any organized players here, right? So they are pretty small, mom-and-pop stores. So as such, I mean, difficult to say the reaction because they're unorganized and small mom-and-pop.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, we have our strength in steel sourcing and then strong brand, right? So what we have to do.
Okay, got it. In terms of B2B metal trading, you said that imports were unviable for the quarter. Can you just elaborate a little bit more on that?
So one is that there is a risk of safeguard duty, right? So anyways, the imports are minimalized. Okay. Then second, the domestic steel prices have come off so much that the steel prices, after all the duties, right, in India, they are also at parity, right? So there is no point of keeping up 90 days of cycle, right, which can hurt as per the steel price swings, right? So domestic steel is viable today.
Okay, got it. So this, for imports, you have a 90-day kind of cycle, right, from ordering to delivery.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. May I please request you to please rejoin the queue?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So vessel takes like 90 days to reach, yeah.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Chirag from White Pine Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello, am I audible?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for this opportunity. Sir, just clarification, our business model works on per kg basis, right? And not on margins basis. Because if steel price keeps coming down, then if you have business model is on margin basis, then it has a direct impact on our profitability.
Right.
So that's what my question is. So is our business model based on margin basis or it's on per kg basis?
You see, I mean, obviously, steel, normally you look at rupees per ton, right? That's the right way to look at it.
So hypothetically, what I'm asking is, suppose on 100 rupee per ton, you make 2%, 2 rupee per ton kind of EBITDA. If 100 becomes 90, your EBITDA per ton will also become 1.8, right? It will not stay as 2.
So how you should look at it is that, obviously, right, as the steel prices go up and down, the percentage margin will change, right? But we have been making around 1,000 rupees per ton, right, throughout.
Your voice is cracking. Apologies for this, but your voice is cracking.
Am I audible now? Is it better?
Yeah, you are better. Yeah.
I'm saying is that 2%, 2.5% EBITDA margin, what we say, if we get from the assumption that.
But your voice is breaking.
Hello?
Can I reconnect you?
Yeah.
Sir, your voice is breaking. It started breaking again, sir.
Yeah. Just give me a minute.
Okay. Yeah. Let me reconnect.
Ladies and gentlemen, please wait for a while while we reconnect our management. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for patiently waiting. We have the management back with us. Anubhav sir, over to you.
Yeah, thanks, Manas. I'm so sorry. I hope I'm audible now.
Yes, sir. You're absolutely.
Okay. So when we say that 2.5% EBITDA margin, right, that is based on the assumption of rupees per ton as well, right, back calculation. So if you look at, our EBITDA per ton over the last quarter, it has been around like, you know, 1,000 rupees per ton here, like 300 rupees a ton.
This call obviously is now being recorded.
Obviously, Q2 was bad, right?
Call recording has now ended.
Otherwise, barring Q2, we have been around 1,000 rupees per ton plus minus, and that's why our margins are, you know, 2 to 2.5% EBITDA range.
Okay. So why? Because, sir, because you always speak in terms of margins, and that's why I was curious. Internally, you look at per ton basis, or you look at?
No, so business model is looked at per ton basis. Okay, because there are multiple verticals, right? So that's why for investors and analysts, we are talking about margin. See, I mean, but whatever steel prices may behave, right? Say like from 60,000 rupees a ton, right now the selling price is 50,000 rupees a ton. From here on, the volatility won't be that much, right? Obviously, there would be some blue moon scenarios, but we should be in that range plus minus 5-10%. So even if you look at optically, the margins will be between 2 to 2.5%.
Okay. So if steel prices are on the higher side, our margins would be at the lower end. And if steel prices are lower side, our margin should be at the higher end once the volatility subsides. That is the way to look at it.
That is right.
Okay. The second is, can you just talk about this Forex accounting? Why it's a business gain and unlike how the accounting standards ask, require it to other income? So, because we don't export, right? So this has to be more on the import.
Yeah. This is imports only. This is imports only, right? So we gain on import income, right? Steel prices, the margin what we made. Right, the auditor wanted to show it as forex gain, but then none of our contracts are negative. Okay.
Sir, can you talk a bit about it? How it is exactly structured so that it is not a volatile income or not a speculative income in that sense? Whenever you will import,
it is not going to loss. No, it is not. It's a gain on sale of imported steel, right? Why auditors put it in other income is because they classified it as forex gain. But then, my point is that we don't keep any contracts naked. They're always hedged. Okay, forex gain comes or forex loss comes when your contracts are naked, right? None of our contracts are naked. They are always hedged. But just because of some classification, they had to put it in other income. So what I can tell you on record is that it's that none of our contracts are naked. They are always hedged. So there is no risk or gain to the forex volatility.
So when you say hedge, do you refer to the end customer purchase and selling hedging or currency hedging?
Dollar is hedge. Currency.
Dollar is hedge. Okay. Great. Very helpful. Thank you, Anubhav.
Yeah.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Rishikesh from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So can you guide for the revenues for quarter 4 and for FY26 as well?
You mean the volume?
Revenue guidance.
Revenue, yes. So I guess, we should be between 1500 to 1700 crores for Q4. Obviously, we are waiting for some pickup in construction activity, which can lift our TMT sales, right? And also pick up in overall steel demand, which is led by multiple industries, whether it is capital goods or construction or buy goods. So there is like overall stress in the country. That is what is like preventing us from doing the 2000 crore of revenue run rate per quarter. But based on current scenario, we believe that we should be touching minimum 1500 and things pick up. So we can reach 1700, 1800 as well. But yes, I mean, 1500 is, we should definitely do. And for FY26, so assuming we do 1500 in Q4, so the full year we shall be closing around 6000 crores, right? And like I said, that I mean we should assume 40% jump, 40-50% jump on this. So yeah, 9 to 10,000 crores is what should come. I hope I'm clear.
Yeah, I'm sorry. So currently we are at 1.6% EBITDA margin. So what has to happen for us to go to 2.5% level? And by when is it possible? Can we say for full year FY26 we can achieve that margin?
So 1.6% for 9 months is because of inventory losses in Q2, which are not going to be repeated. Right? So if I remove inventory losses, we are already above 2%. Right, as new service centers come up which have more profitable products, right, so margin should inch up to 2.2, 2.3, 2.4 and 2.5 eventually as we also ramp up our solar structure business.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Alisha Mahavale from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi Anubhav, good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. Just wanted to understand in B2B metal trading, you said that imports were not viable because of disparity in domestic steel prices, which meant that then we could have just procured domestically. Then why the volume degrowth sequentially?
Yeah, so Isha, see, it takes time to make deals with steel producers, right, because they have their own commitments. So it's just that suddenly the imports became unviable, right? And then we started talking to all the steel mills, right? So yes, for Q4 we are pretty sorted, but yes, we didn't have much time to procure that much steel, right? And that steel has to come at our cost. Okay. So, Q4, now we have, good supply tie-ups with all the mills and in India, in last 11-12 months, right, since NMDC and GSP has put up the capacity after a gap of 5 years in Indian upstream steel sector, GSW's two blast furnaces started. So overall 10 to 12 million ton of new steel capacity came, right? But the actual steel in the market is only around 30-40% of that. Rest, the blast furnaces are still getting rammed up. Okay. So scenario is improving month on month for domestic steel supply. And in Q4, Q1, we expect lot of steel coming from Indian mills, which will boost our B2B metal trading volumes.
Understood. Just a clarification here. Do we have tie-ups or have we started sourcing from all the top five steel manufacturers? Because I believe earlier we were only working with one or two. So have we managed to now have contracts?
Yeah. We are buying steel from top four producers out of five.
Okay, understood. Sure. Now moving to the service center business, Raipur and Pune, have they started or are they yet to start? I know you mentioned there was a delay, but as we're sitting in Jan, have they started?
So Raipur has not started. Raipur will start next month. Pune, because of delay, what we did was we took a small service center on rent. right? And then we will move to our own service center next month when it is 100% ready.
So the way to understand it is that all three, Dubai, Pune and Raipur, will probably start by end of Feb or March, which means they will only start contributing in Q1 of next year.
That's right. So yeah, there is a 3-4 months delay because of like this monsoon is taking monsoon impacted the construction activity.
And the 5 sites that we have identified, how quickly will they commercialize? What is the kind of lead time one can expect?
Next day. I mean, whatever steel prices move. Normally. Steel prices are revised once in a month, right? On the first or second day of every month. So whatever reactions we have, whether plus or minus, we also revise it like immediately.
I think my question was I don't think it was very audible. The 5 sites that we have identified for the service sector business. You mentioned that you've identified 5 sites, right? Just wanted to know by when can we expect it to commercialize? What is the lead time?
Okay, I'm so sorry. Yeah. So the target is December 2025 to March 2026.
Almost towards the end of next year.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Because these are larger sites, right, which can do 15,000-20,000 ton of volume every month. So we need 1 year to fully construct those.
But the original aspiration was to probably add 20 service centers annually or 50 service centers.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So Alisha, we just took a pause for 2 months, okay, because imports were not happening, right, and then we were tying up with domestic steel players, and now that the steel looks visible to come in abundance, right, in Indian market, so 2 months we were slow. And now we have kick-started it, right? So sites we have identified, right? Sites, my team is already talking to, people who can sell, right? Land identification is in process. And 5 more new sites we have identified. So the work will start on 10 sites during this year. 5 will be finished by December, and another 5 may finish by May-June next year. So if Q4, like, you know, Q1, we have sensed that, yes, this 10 million ton steel has now started coming in the market, right? And then nothing stops us from going for, like, you know, 10, 15 sites in single shot next year, 2026 calendar year. So just that, we cautiously took a call for 2 months. We just wanted to see how the steel supply behaves. Right, on paper, 10 million tons steel has come, right, but in market, it's only 3-4 million tons which has come, right, but has to come, right, because blast furnaces have got fired, they have started, so 2-3 months, just ramp up is taking time. The moment it hits, we will be ready with our service centers.
Understood. And just one last question with respect to the...
Maybe please request you to rejoin the queue as there are several participants waiting for their turn.
Sure, I will rejoin the queue. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, please restrict yourself to 2 questions per participant. We have a next question from the line of Dharmil Shah from Dalmus Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, Anubhav. Just wanted to know why were the imports unviable, if you can elaborate on that part. Maybe you mentioned, but I missed it earlier.
Yeah, sure. So see, it's the costing, right? The landed cost of imported steel in India versus the domestic steel prices.
Okay, so the prices were quite high for imports. Is this what you are referring to?
Not high, no, not high, but for, like, you know, the gap was so low that it doesn't make sense to import.
Okay. And usually, what is the mix between the domestic sourcing and imports? I mean, what was it this quarter, and what would you like it?
This quarter was very low, right? Last quarter was on an average, given the stress in domestic steel prices, right? And anyway, see, everyone is talking about bringing safeguard duty on every product, right? So if there is safeguard duty on steel also, right? So then import will be 100% unviable anyways, right? So import is not part of our business model now.
Understood. And can you again just give a breakup of segmental volume breakup for all the three divisions?
So out of like 1300 crore which we do, right, this is what you want to break up?
Yeah, volume breakup for the three divisions.
Okay, volume, right. So overall quarter was around 300,000 ton, right? Out of that, B2B for the quarter was around 150,000 tons. 100,000 ton was service center, and 50,000 ton was distribution.
Understood. And for the solar module,
may please be request you to rejoin the queue.
Okay.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to take questions from all participants in the conference, please restrict your questions to two per participants. We have our next question from the line of Ayush Vimal from Clearview Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. You know, you've scaled up the B2B division quite well over the last few quarters. My question is, you know, are you really displacing the existing distributors which the plants used to cater to, or you're rather distributing capacity from fresh plants that are being set up? Is it more of market share that you're gaining, or you're more relying on market growth?
No, so there are two things. One is that we're not trying to displace anyone, right? What we are trying to do here is become a large reseller, okay, of steel, and then distributors can through us, right? It is like, say, one distributor is attached to steel mill one, right? But he's not getting steel from mill two. So he can buy material from SG Mart for steel mill two, because SG Mart is buying from all the steel mills, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, so this is one type of growth. Second is like the steel mills are also attached with a lot of small dealers and distributors. So the themselves are telling us that, okay, you become large reseller and then let the smaller distributors buy through you, because their headache comes down, right? And third is, yes, I mean, steel demand in the country is growing okay compared to, like, you know, whatever bad economic data we keep on hearing. So yes, I mean, incremental steel supply which is coming in, we are taking that share as well.
Thanks. On point one, right, what I basically understood is you're actually pushing down the distributor who's directly buying from the plants down the distribution chain. So now, instead of directly buying from the plants, he's buying it through you. In terms of pricing and working capital, is he better off buying through you compared to buying directly from the plant? And if so, why is that the case?
No, because see, the steel mills always work on quantity discounts, right? You buy X ton, you get this discount. You get X quantity, you get Y discount. You buy Z quantity, you get A discount, right? So because we are buying more, so obviously just as a slab cycle, right, my cost of purchase is low, right? So yes, which I keep it to myself and pass it on to the dealers, right? And then I am having steel from multiple steel mills, right? So I'm keeping the stock, right? So for him, it becomes just in time.
Got it. Fair enough. And
if you see, I have 10 days of as well, right? Whereas steel mills normally don't offer credit to its dealers.
Got it. So basically, the steel mills are able to evacuate capacity faster when they deal through you, and that is why they're giving you that quantity discount, right?
That is right.
Okay. Second, just, you know, clarification. So the 6.2 crore of derivative income that's included above EBITDA in this...
No, that's not derivative income. No. I mean, that's a gain on my steel, that's gain on my steel sales, right? But yeah, somehow it just got into classification of Forex.
That's very well understood. I understood the logic behind it. My question is, you know, you had incurred a loss of about 3 crores in the first two quarters combined, right? Because the 9-month gain is 3.5 and 9-month gain is 6.5 and this 9-month gain is 3.5 and this quarter is 6.5. So the loss that you had incurred for the first two quarters in your presentation, is it included above EBITDA or is it included below EBITDA?
No, so 9-month numbers have been adjusted basically.
Okay, so for quarter one and quarter two, the numbers that you have in your presentation, right, in the table, you know, the loss.
Because that number was very small, right? So we didn't bother much, but this quarter the number came out to be pretty big, so we had to highlight it.
Okay, got it. Fair enough. Thank you.
We have our next question from the line of Vikas Mistry from Moonshot Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi, Anuman. Thanks for the opportunity. So we were discussing that our business is EBITDA per ton. So you said that it's 1,000 rupees per ton. Then if the steel prices goes up, which we don't see it go up in hurry, but if it goes up, then the margins would start reducing. And what will be the steady state? We think that your steady state margins will be 1,300 per ton as we're trying to scale up other two.
No. If steel prices go up, right, what I was saying was that optically percentage margin will look down, but it will not impact my EBITDA per ton, which is 1,000 today. Okay, it doesn't get impacted.
That's also a thing. But let's assume in a hypothetical case in FY27, the prices still goes to 60 rupees per kg. Then your EBITDA margins would be lesser than 2.5. It should be around 2%. Is it the right understanding?
They could be, but then there could be some inventory gains. Like in Q2, I booked inventory loss, right? Steel prices crashed by 8,000 rupees a ton. Now, if we assume that
inventory,
steel prices go up,
sorry to interrupt, inventory gain is a one-time exercise, so we don't look at that.
That's what, no. So when we are looking at our business model on per ton basis, right, then percentage margin, 2.1, 2.5% doesn't make sense, right? Plus, then we have a lot more value-added products, right? Like in service center business, I make 2,000 rupees per ton, which is like 4% margin today, right? When I will have 30, 40 service centers up and running by FY27, yeah, we should look, right? A lot of my revenue will be highly profitable. Then solar mounted structures, it's a highly profitable product, right, which we are adding to our portfolio. So I think what I can tell you is that no matter steel prices are 50,000 or 60,000 rupees a ton, our focus is that from 1,000 rupees per ton, we take it to around 1,200, 1,300 rupees per ton based on the product mix.
Okay. That's understandable. Okay, that's all from my side.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Vivek Patel from Picom Family Office. Please go ahead.
Very good evening. So am I audible?
Please go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, sir. You are audible. Please go ahead with the questions.
Yeah. Thanks again for the opportunity. Just two quick questions. First is, what is the HRC price as of now, and what are the steps taken to mitigate the recent price change impact?
So right now, the market rate is 47,500 to 48,000 rupees per ton.
And what are the steps? Is it in the model so that the price change would not hurt us as much as it would hurt others, so to speak?
I'm sorry, I'm not able to hear you properly. Can you speak a bit like away from the mic?
Is it better now, sir?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Yeah, thank you. I'm just asking as to the price change that happens, how does that impact us in the sense that how does the business model absorb that or the price change impact?
Okay, enough. So in India, like the steel prices are normally revised once in a month on first or second date of every month. Like 11 out of 12 months, so this is the scenario, right? It's only like 1 month when like, you know, the revision could be twice. But normally 11 out of 12 months, the revision is once, the first
week of the month, like say by second, third, normally the steel company, the steel authority normally comes out with the pricing. And whatever revision is done, whether plus or minus, we immediately react to that, right? We immediately react to that.
Okay. Understood. Thanks. And secondly, in your investor presentation, in the FY27 expected revenues of 18,000 crores, in that slide it is written that we expect 33% of that, which is 6,000 crores, to be coming from service center segment. But in the last con call, if I'm not correct or misunderstood, I think you had mentioned the contribution from service center to be 40 to 50% of your FY27 revenues. Am I understanding it correct, or is there any...
No, the business will be split into three segments, 66,000 crores each, right? And this 18,000 crore number varies on the steel prices, right? So, whatever it is, whether it is 15,000 crores or 18,000 crores, it will depend on the steel prices. The volume should be around 3 million tons, basically.
Okay, understood. Thanks a lot. Thank you, man.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Bhavin Pandey from Athena Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yeah, Bhavin, go ahead, please.
Yeah, congratulations on a good set of numbers in a tough environment. Anubhav, so how do you look at ramping up of white label products in the mix? Because they are more margin accretive. So how do you look at this angle?
Right, so there are two main products here. One is light structural, second is TNT bar, rebars, right? Both are used in construction, right? And unfortunately, construction demand has been pretty slow. So we're not able to ramp up TNT sales significantly, right? But yes, I mean, we wait for the environment to become better, which it should, in next few months, and then white label products will grow at a much faster pace.
So we can expect some benefits to flow through towards margins, right?
Definitely, yes. So see, I mean, for margins, right, a service center will boost my margin, solar structure will boost my margin, white label product will boost my margin. We have enough levers, enough new products, enough ramp up, which will keep on boosting my margins.
That's helpful, sir. Thanks a lot and good luck.
Can we take last two questions, please?
Sure, sir. We have our next question from the line of Rakesh Jain from RK Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good evening. I wanted to know what will be the interest expense trajectory going forward. So even though you are sitting on cash today, there is a significant interest cost due to your working capital requirements, I believe. So how should we see this interest expense trajectory as well as the other income trajectory over the next few quarters?
Sir, if you look at my gross block today, right, my total capital employed, right, which should be all funded from cash in my books, right, but I have not done that. Right, so working capital, why you see debt on my books is because I tell my salespeople that, hey, you don't have cash on your company balance sheet. Okay, so say for example, my fixed deposit rate is 7% today. Right, I take limit from HDFC Bank at 7.1%. Right, and this extra. And then I tell my salesperson that, that if you are using this working capital, which is at a cost of 7.1%, right, so he is always under pressure for the collections, right? If I tell him that this is company's equity, company's net worth, company's cash on the books, right, so the receivable cycle may deteriorate, which I don't want to, right? So this is just to put pressure on our sales team that this is like, you know, interest bearing loan, and you have to ensure that the working capital cycle remains pretty low.
Okay, I hope your sales employees are not listening to this call anyway.
Yeah, that's what, so, yeah, so this is, yeah, so it's only us, the management here on the call, that's right.
Okay, no, but going forward, like this interest expense trajectory, like as and when you start opening more and more service centers, And so you will have to maybe take some debt or raise some equity as you progress towards your goal.
No. See, I mean, this money which we have in the books, right, plus the cash flow is what we are getting today, right? It is enough to do 30,000-35,000 crore business, right? The total capital employed, what we understand is like 2,500 crores, right? So 1,300-1,400 crore is my cash when we started the business, plus 700-800 crore will be cash flow cumulative generation, right? So 2,500 crore is what we shall invest, right, to generate 30,000-35,000 crore of revenue.
Okay, so the interest cost will remain stable at these levels, or it's not going to increase in the future, the interest expense?
So it will go, like, you know, see, if I grow my business, I will need more working capital, right? So my other income will also increase, and my interest income will also increase, right? So more or less, like, you know, they will remain same.
Okay, understood. Okay. So it will not be the case that your other income will start going down in the future as you open more and more service centers and your interest expense will continue to rise. So that's not the case. Basically, both will offset each other more or less.
Yeah. Because right now we are working on very light working capital days, right? Unless, like, you know, we have 20-25 service centers which will take my working capital to like 20-25 days, which eventually it will. Right. Till then, the interest income and the interest cost shall match each other.
But the 25 service centers you are planning to open over the next
May I please request you to rejoin the queue?
Yeah. Just to end to it. I mean, in the next 15-20 months, we shall be like 15 service centers operational, and 10 will be under construction.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, the last question for today is from the line of Asta from PKD Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, please go ahead.
We saw first time in our Q2Q revenue, the revenues has dropped in our for the first time. And mm-hmm. So we have revised our revenue guidance as well. So is this the seasonality finally catching up?
No. The reason for fall in quarter-on-quarter revenue was on the account of less imports, right, in Q3 compared to Q2. Q2, there was a big spurt in import volumes, but this quarter import was not viable, and it took us 1 to 2 months to make deals with the Indian steel mills for steel supply, which we have now in place. So yes, I mean 300-400 crore revenue loss may be there for the whole year of FY25.
Okay. Got it. That's it from my end, sir.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. And I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thanks, Manav, and again, thanks to Harsh and NK for hosting us, and apologies for this delay for the call to all the participants. If there are any question unanswered, please reach out to our team, Naman, Suraj, and myself. We shall address everything. Thanks so much. Have a nice evening.
Thank you so much, sir. On behalf of Emkay Global Financial Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.